Welcome to the Trending Show. Now, here's your host, Mike Quackenbush.
It's time for me to tell you about all the top trending stories online from the past week. I will do this while dodging stories about pro sports, those posted by HollywoodLife.com, or those containing hard-to-pronounce names. I do this thanks to the generous support of Cobra Electronics, and powered by overpriced coffee drinks and your five-star reviews in iTunes. So, big thanks to Donnie Turner for that five-star review entitled Cinnabon in a Half Shell. Donnie, even though we may one day meet inside the Thunderdome on the topic of the Big Bang Theory, I am glad to have you as a loyal trendy, and thanks for your pastry-themed review. I'll talk more about pastries later in the program. I also talk about pastries when I'm not here on the Trending Show. If you've ever listened to Clayton Morris and I over on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, you know this to be true. Over 1 million people searched for Adam Silver on Monday. He is the police commissioner of the NBA. He may or may not be related to Gollum, the ghastly creature from Tolkien fiction. Bang Bang Adam's silver hammer came down on Clippers owner Donald Sterling. Bang Bang Adam's silver hammer banned Sterling for life from the NBA and fined him $2.5 million and is attempting to rally enough votes to force Sterling to sell the Clippers. In order to do that, 22 of the other 29 NBA franchise owners will have to side with Silver and the album Abbey Road. All of this in the wake of leaked tapes in which Sterling speaks openly about not wanting black people around, which is a really crazy stance for an NBA team owner to take, especially the owner of the LA Clippers, whose best players all happen to be black. Sorry, J.J. Redick. The Clippers have a net worth of just under $600 million, so if Sterling is forced to sell, that $2.5 million fine isn't going to amount to much more to him than a PayPal fee would to you and I. And the lifetime ban? Have you seen this guy? He's one hot fart away from hospice. But I say, good for you, Adam Silver, and other basketball types that don't want to stand for any kind of bigotry. What else can you do besides hand him the maximum fine allowed by the NBA and send him packing? Rumors persist that if Sterling is forced to sell, that Oprah Winfrey, who you may know is a black person, would buy the Clippers. And I think that would be delicious. And I hope Oprah, who has a net worth of more than $1 billion, pays some underling in her organization to drive a car with one of those advertising wraps on it, proclaiming her the new Clippers owner, while playing really loud black music to drive around Donald Sterling's house all the time. A personal note here for Oprah. That new chai you and Tivana came up with and are selling at my Starbucks like it's steamy heaven in a cup? That stuff is weak, Oprah. It shouldn't even be classified as chai. I know you do lots of good work all over the world and blah blah whatever, but don't think for a second your billions and that bleached smile of yours can even attempt to aspire to what the Borders chai of old was like. That was a drink that could speak to a man's soul. That was a drink that made atheists see the face of God. I will do my best to avoid any more sports stories and Oprah stories for the balance of this podcast. Also trending Monday was Edie Brickell, which is a phrase no one has uttered in the last 21 years. Brickell, the 47-year-old lead singer of Edie Brickell and the New Hellions, is married to 72-year-old Paul Simon, lead Electric Triangle, with the trip-hop duo Simon and Garfunkel. The couple, married since 1992, were in court following a 911 call for a domestic disturbance at their residence in Norwalk, Connecticut. Simon, the puckish singer-songwriter, rode in the pocket of the 8-foot-2-inch Brickell's tunic to the hearing, where they downplayed the dispute, and that was apparently phoned in by Brickell's visiting mother. A battered and bloodied Simon first seemed to tell a contradicting story until Brickell's eyes began to glow red and smoke trails could be seen emanating from her tear ducts. Simon recanted. Trending right at the lowest levels on Tuesday was apartheid, and I guess this exposes my broad ignorance on the topic, but is that still a thing in 2014? I expected upon clicking on the link that this would have something to do with a Nevada rancher and the impotence of the federal government, but instead it turned out to be a story containing political backpedaling, the black hole of charisma himself, John Kerry, and Israel, that arid strip just past Turkey where people are always fighting about something. Peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians, now in their 391st year, have recently centered on a two-state system, as a unitary state system, has led some to believe that a form of apartheid would eventually rise, with some of Israel's denizens essentially becoming second-class citizens. The inherent problems of a unitary state were eloquently pointed out by the United States resident master of monotone John Kerry. Then, of course, following the almost predictable outrage, Kerry, the humanoid-like stone creature, apologized and promised to stop saying true things about the issues surrounding the Israeli peace talks when recording devices are in the room. Following his apology, Kerry remained tight-lipped and perfectly still for the next 4 days while the cleaning staff moved around him without taking notice. Also on Tuesday, the teen flick Mean Girls was trending, as the movie is now 10 years old. I did not know that Mean Girls was written by Tina Fey, which might be its only redeeming quality. I did have to read a story to understand why this was trending, though, and CNN.com thought that because I might also be interested in reading their article, 10 sizzling photos of Carrie Underwood, they should slide a photo from that right under my nose. First, I assume this means that the investigative journalists at CNN have decided that Carrie Underwood is a mean girl. Second, when I read that title, I immediately imagined Carrie Underwood on a grill next to strips of bacon. Third, a thumbnail of any woman dressed as Maria Von Trapp is not what we should consider to be clickbait webmasters of the world. Cobra Electronics' floating walkie-talkie radio is now on sale. The CXT-1035 is a compact, versatile two-way radio for year-round use with a range of 37 miles. This rugged, floating radio offers access to emergency radio alerts and all-hazard weather reports, and it features Cobra's exclusive Rewind Say Again feature for up to 20 seconds of playback for a missed transmission. This outdoor essential is being discounted right now through Father's Day over at Cobra.com, where they've knocked $30 off the regular retail price. And if this marine-friendly version isn't what you're looking for, well, have no fear, loyal trendies. 9 of Cobra's other most popular two-way radio systems are also on discount this month. So don't delay. Slither on over to Cobra.com and tell them the trending show sent ya. We love those guys, and they've been great show sponsors of ours for a really long time, and hopefully for a really long time to come. Okay, Clayton Lockett was trending on Wednesday. USA Today, which saw the most traffic for this story, reported that Lockett, the convicted murderer, was defiant hours before his execution and had to be tasered into submission. Later that day, he was administered a cocktail of 3 drugs designed to bring about his death. The procedure, from start to finish, lasted 43 minutes before Lockett was declared dead. An investigation into what has been termed a botched execution has been ordered by Oklahoma's governor, Mary Fallon. I detect no botch, and I've been featured in enough installments of the YouTube series Botchamania to know a thing or two about botches. Clayton Lockett was convicted of kidnapping, beating, shooting, and then burying a 19-year-old girl alive when she walked in on Lockett committing burglary. And for killing this innocent girl, the state of Oklahoma has provided Lockett with comfortable living, 3 nutritious meals a day, and free showtime, which, to be fair, apart from Dexter and Homeland, really is a harsh sentence, for the last 15 years of his wretched existence. You know what was botched about this execution? Not that it took doctors 43 minutes to erase this human stain, but that it took society 15 years to get around to doing it. And people are protesting that because the administering doctor had difficulty finding a suitable vein in his arms and legs that the lethal cocktail was injected into Lockett's groin. If what Lady Justice has to put on the scales today is burying a teenage girl alive and a doctor administering shots to a convicted killer's groin in the final minutes of his life, I don't see a whole lot of room for argument here. I can muster no sympathy, let alone a yearning for mercy to be shown to a man that showed none to his innocent victim. There are a lot worse ways to go than groin injection. You know, like being beaten, shot, and then buried alive. Thursday's top trend was May Day, which is remarkable in so much that May Day is only slightly less forgettable than Arbor Day. May Day is also International Workers' Day, and in our part of the world, National Day of Prayer. The once pagan European holiday of May Day has become a holiday for pagans here in the United States as well, and by that I mean the pagans at my bank's drive-thru, which was closed on Thursday. It should come as no surprise that Friday's most searched term was Spider-Man 2, because the Spidey sequel swung into American theaters, hot off early releases in other countries. I'll be reviewing the movie on the next edition of the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, where Mr. Morris and I will be joined by film critic Kevin McCarthy. But trending not far beneath The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was the term Goblin Shark, which I thought might be related, but it's not. A goblin shark, which is a real animal, considered to be one of the rarest shark species on Earth, was caught in a fisherman's net off Key West, which is a tiny island off Florida where Jimmy Buffett has assumed the mantle of town drunk emeritus. The goblin shark is quite ghastly in appearance, and the guy that caught it, after snapping a few photos for Instagram, tossed it back into the ocean. The goblin shark is rarely spotted outside Japanese waters. I cannot express the degree to which I found it unsettling that the Huffington Post chose to place photos of this grotesquerie beside their most read article of the last week. It's official, May is going to be one sexy month. The week closed as a video of dogs and a cat went viral to the tune of over 1 million views in 48 hours. The contagious Pharrell Williams song, Happy, has launched 1,000 homemade videos from fans who wanted to marry his song to their own videos. And this, combined with the fact that he's got the catchiest song of the year going on, has propelled Happy and Pharrell Williams to the top of the charts around the world. In this viral video, a vanload of dogs and one cat go to the beach, frolic in the surf, and press their drooly faces near the camera, which is the source of sheer delight for animal lovers the world over, and the source of jarring revulsion to slobber phobes such as myself. And I'm off to the shower right now. Thanks to great show sponsors Cobra Electronics, thanks to Moose for that great 5-star review that made me crave Cinnabon, and thanks for listening, loyal Trendies. How about this? Let's get back together here again next week, and we'll do it all over. Adios, amigos.